Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, today, again, as in yesterday, we see a death and we see a resurrection. St. Paul speaks of it very clearly in his epistle to the Romans. Baptism is entry into the church. Baptism is the death of the old man. There's something even more important to understand about baptism. What Christ requires of us, he makes us capable of doing. Everything that he requires, he did as a man. He makes our flesh able to live according to the commandments. Now, without God, it is not possible to live a righteous life. No one can be righteous. No one can control their thoughts, control their feelings, can never think something that's wrong or do something that's wrong. But with God's help, we can become purified. Baptism is the empowerment of man. Baptism is a death and a resurrection. St. Paul speaks of it very clearly. He says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" Well, what happened? Christ died and rose again. We are baptized into his death, the same type of death. So, just as he rose again, surely we will rise again. Now, it remains to be seen with our conduct, our priorities, our way of life, what we consider to be important and not important, whether that will be in a resurrection unto life or a resurrection unto eternal perdition. But our flesh will rise, and we will be able to see God if we choose to live according to the commandment. So he says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life." We are buried with Christ, we rise with him, but we must be in his likeness. We must live according to how he has shown us to live. The reason why Christ spent 3 years of ministry was as an example for us. You know that in his first year, the Jews wanted to kill him. And he, knowing this, had to do various things, go away to various desert places and such things, and be away at various times when they would have killed him if he had stayed within their grasp. He spent 3 years so that we would learn how to live. He is our example. And also, the saints are our example, who have followed in his path. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Christ died and rose again. James has had his old man die. Now, he can rise again. But this is something that can only be actualized by our efforts. Now, there is nothing we can do to deserve God's mercy. Nothing whatsoever. There's no work which can save. But it is very clear from the testament of the scriptures, from the beginning to the end, that when God gives us his grace, we must retain it by our efforts. We don't deserve anything, and there's nothing that we can point to say, this allows us to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But Christ has had us be baptized, had our old man die, so that we could walk in newness of life. So the things that formerly entrapped you, James, you should beg God to help you to avoid them. Now you have a power that will help you to avoid sin. You know, it is not without a reason that the church prays in every service, any service of any duration at all that I can think of, to be delivered from necessity. Cruel necessity is what man was under before baptism, before Christ's incarnation and his installing the new order, the new law, the law of grace. Now we fall into necessity, unfortunately, because of our habits. So God, merciful, gives us access to forgiveness. And we can always begin anew. Every moment of our lives we can begin anew. You have the ability now to live righteously. And really, also, you have no excuse to not attempt to live righteously. I've said this many times to many people. God requires of us, absolutely, our desire. If we don't have the desire to live righteously, we won't be saved. If we don't have the desire to stop all sins, we won't be saved. Now, whether or not you are able to stop a sin or to begin to live in a certain righteous way, this is something that God may help you with. God provides results. We provide effort. You are able now to live righteously. And for you and for everyone in the room, the requirement is that you struggle to live according to the commandments. God will provide the ability. Now you have this ability because of baptism. Your old man is crucified with him, says the apostle. Henceforth, we should not serve sin. Now, baptism is a commitment and a promise. Not only does God do something by making you a new creature, but this is your commitment and your promise that you would live righteously. That's why you have the white robe on. The white robe is symbolic of purity. And you want to retain your baptismal garment till the end of your days and not allow it to get dirty. Or if it does get dirty, run to repentance so that it will be cleaned again. We say, as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Putting on Christ means living as he lived, forgiving as he forgave, humbling ourselves as he humbled himself, being compassionate as he is compassionate. He is truly an example of all of the virtues. So we should live as he lived. And as I say again, you are made capable of living this way because of baptism. You are freed from sin, says the apostle. Now, it is a terrible tragedy if someone who is freed, a slave is freed, goes back into slavery of his own volition. It's a terrible thing. Now that you are a freed slave, don't go back to the flesh pots of Egypt. Remember that you now have been bought with a price. You are precious in God's eyes, and you have a requirement and a commitment. Your integrity should make you to desire to live righteously in all things. Now, if we be dead with Christ, and you just died, we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. This is the wondrous occurrence of baptism that occurs in baptism. The thing that occurs is no longer does death have dominion over you. No longer are you constrained by demonic necessities, by provocations of the evil one. You have now a weapon to fight against them, your faith in God. And God will help. God has yoked to your life a guardian angel. Don't make this guardian angel sad by sinning. If you sin, fall to repentance immediately. Not only personally, but also come into confession in the church. For in that he died unto sin once, but that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Remember these words, James. And if you do not remember them, read them over and over so that you would remember to live righteously. This is your calling. I'm amazed at how little the world understands righteousness. Even those people that try to live righteously, they don't understand the purpose of righteousness. Righteousness is so that we can see God. It's not just rules to be followed. It is the only path to be able to see God and to be not ashamed. Now you have that ability. The ability to see God. The ability to become pure in all things. May God grant that you would follow the path of Christianity, would keep your garment undefiled and spotless. Amen. Now we have a tradition that after a person is